Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
LNP 191, tips for running a successful LNC business. What are some terrific ways to make your loyal customers keep coming back with more cases? Is social media worthwhile? What should you be aware of when hiring an employee? These sound like diverse topics for a podcast. No matter where you are in your LNC journey, you'll find a tidbit or more in this podcast. I'm Pat Iyer, and this is Iyer's Insights. For this show, I'm sharing an interview I did with Dr. Gail Carson. You'll hear from her next.
This is Dr. Gail Carson, bringing you Women in Business, a show featuring women who have started their own business, created something new and different, or are in senior management positions in large companies. It's my honor and privilege to bring these fascinating people to you so that they can inspire you in your life as well. And my guest today is Patricia Iyer. Patricia has built her medical legal consulting firm over the past 25 years to become one of the most successful firms of its kind. She assists attorneys to understand the medical aspects of their cases. She is a nurse and a past president of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you, Gail.
Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful day for me so far. And so I'm very excited to talk to you about this because I know you're very successful in an industry and a business that most people, I don't think they're even aware that it exists. But our listeners are businesswomen who may be working in a career or running a business. So please describe what you do to our listeners.
What we do is, as nurses, use our medical knowledge to help attorneys who are handling cases that have medical issues, primarily personal injury or medical malpractice cases. And we started off as just me working out of my home, and now we work in an office condo with the support staff and another nurse and a whole team of subcontractors who are expert witnesses, who are asked to evaluate cases for medical malpractice and then to testify.
You know, this is so important. I have talked to so many women who started a business out of their bedroom or out of the kitchen, and they've gone on to wonderful things. And I think it takes a little bit of bravery, and I also think it takes a little bit of tremendous self-confidence and self-esteem to do something like that. And I think that's very important to note that you've gone from your home to an office condo with a staff. So that's impressive. So what are three tips that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, what I'd like to share is some thoughts about customer service, about social media, and about hiring employees. I know those are subjects that could be addressed in all day long programs, but I wanted to share some of the highlights of the things that I have learned the hard way that may help our listeners in terms of their own businesses.
Well, that sounds great. Why don't we go ahead and start with customer service?
The kinds of clients that we deal with are probably similar to many other people who are providing professional consulting services. We have well-educated, demanding people who are under a lot of deadlines, and there's a lot at stake in the way that they handle their business. They have to select the right people to help them, they have to stay on top of the details, and they have to be sure that they are gaining enough success in their business that they keep that cash flow going. So that's our primary audience. And then I also provide some webinars and teleseminars for legal nurse consultants who are doing what I'm doing. So I'm providing books and distance learning to a separate audience of people who are hungry entrepreneurs who want to improve their own knowledge of the field.
Interesting. Now, you know, it's interesting you talk about customer service in what you do. You and I both know that there are people, well, I think every business says, we have outstanding customer service. We think of the customer first. And we know from our experiences of day-to-day living that just about everything that we do and come in contact with is just the opposite of customer service. So what do you do? Do you have complaints? I mean, does it ever happen that someone is dissatisfied with a service that you provide?
It does happen. I try to keep it to a minimum. But typically when the attorney is unhappy, it's usually with something that one of our experts has done. We have a password protected website that is used just for our experts so that when something negative happens involving one attorney, then we provide the lessons learned and share that to the other people who are reviewing cases for us. So we're essentially using the website as a knowledge base. And I could see that this process could work for anyone who's got an employee staff, perhaps people who are working different hours or not always in contact with a manager, of having a place to go to with critical information about what happened and how it could have been prevented. So we use that website that way. Typically, I find when people are very upset, they want to listen. And attorneys can be very forceful and aggressive and used to negotiating and getting their own way. I think much like clients who are part of other businesses. So I typically listen and then wait until I feel that the person has been able to get out the full details of why he's unhappy, and then look for how we can make it better. I will negotiate. I will bend over backwards. I will discount prices or reduce hours. If I feel that the attorney has a legitimate position and something did go wrong, and most of the time, when somebody's complaining, and this may happen to us a few times a year, there is a legitimate concern. But I think it's easy to get caught up in your own perspective of an issue or your business and not necessarily look at it from the perspective of your customer.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you know, we always think we're right too. But I think I think it's a great suggestion about the website, because it's a way for you to learn as well. But I would also ask you, what have you observed that works to smooth a relationship in a small business?
I think honoring your commitments. I just recently had an experience. We sent out an email promoting a book, and there was a typographical error, and we offered a 45% discount on a book that we buy at a 50% discount. And it should have only been 25, and we ended up eating those losses on the 4 or 5 orders that we got out of the 10 people we sent this email to, because we made a mistake. So we wanted to make it right. But I think a bigger part of what we do is to consider that people who are coming to a business want information. They want to be educated. They don't necessarily want to be sold to. So much of marketing is evolving into demonstrating your expertise in your business to your client base and giving them useful, practical information that will help make their lives better and also show that you are the expert in your field. So if you run a dry cleaning business, for example, you might provide your customers with periodic updates on how they can avoid stains or treat stains when they happen so that they are easier to clean at the dry cleaners. We offer a series of blog posts that are out twice a week to help maintain our presence on the internet. And then, as I'll explain a little bit later, we get more use out of those blog posts. But what has really been a huge difference for our business, and I think responsible for a lot of customer loyalty, is that starting about 3 years ago, we identified our champion customers. those people who are giving us either a lot of cases or a couple of cases that resulted in a large amount of income for our business. Every month, we send our champion customers something, whether it's a letter or a small gift. And we appreciate and thank them for their business. And what I've seen is a lot more repeat business coming from our champion customers. We might send them something like a little book, or we just sent out a post-it note box with a calculator on top, or what's called a media lounger, where you can place your cell phone on it and then recharge it. So those are examples of small gifts. None of them cost more than probably $4 or $5. We currently have 100 people on our champion list. So it is some financial investment, but it gives us much in return.
I think that's great. I mean, that is very important. And I think anybody listening who is in business should always, always be able to identify what you call your champion customers, because they are the ones that keep you in business and they're the ones that you want coming back. So that's very important. But you also mentioned social media, and there's been so much talk, Patricia, about, does it really help your business? Is it really necessary? Do people really follow you? Do they look at your comments? What is your feeling on that? How does it influence a business?
You may have heard in the past the expression that a happy customer tells 7 people about their positive experience with you, and an unhappy person tells 11 people. I haven't heard those numbers for a long time, because now you can tell thousands of people the positive and the negative aspects of interacting with your company. They can tell 1,300 of their closest friends on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and it goes on from there, because some of those people can pass it on to their networks. So it puts the responsibility on us to be very quick in responding to unhappiness, because of that great potential of especially sharing unhappiness that people experience as a result of being a customer. In terms of the amount of time to participate in social media, I think, quite honestly, you can get lost in all the different options. And many people I know recommend picking a couple of sites, such as LinkedIn and Twitter, for example. Or if you're if you're selling products and you have a business that has a product line, Pinterest might be a good choice for you at this point, or Google+. But you can't do it all unless you spend all of your time on social media, or you hire somebody to effectively run those campaigns for you. The objective, as I mentioned before, is also to recycle as much as you can material that your company has produced for another purpose. So I take my blog posts, for example, and they are sent through an application over to Facebook when they're published. I take the blog posts themselves and break them into as many as 5 different tweets that I spread out over the course of a couple of weeks. I look to see how I can multipurpose what I have written. How can I take an article and use it in a different means to help get more of your money from the work that you've put together?
This is Pat Iyer. Before we continue with the show, I want to focus on a resource I have that will give you answers for your questions on motivation, hope, mindset, and productivity. How to Grow Your LNC Business, Secrets of Success is one of my newest books. Your mindset matters. The beginning of the book probes how your attitude affects your legal nurse consulting success and how you can make it your friend. One of the best ways to demonstrate your expertise is to ace a presentation to attorneys at a conference or at their law firm. 4 chapters in this book go into depth on techniques to master public speaking. You'll be inspired by the stories of how 5 experienced legal nurse consultants started and grew their business. I divided the book into 3 sections. Section 1 asks the provocative question, are you your friend or enemy? Mindset matters for your LNC success. Get inspired by the techniques for tackling adversity. Section 2 helps you take advantage of one of the best ways to grow your business, to teach attorneys. Making presentations to attorneys is an excellent way to demonstrate your expertise and prove your value. 4 powerful chapters give you the specifics on preparing for and delivering a polished professional presentation. Section 3 has pure inspiration. 5 experienced legal nurse consultants in this section share their stories about how they got started and grew their businesses. They reveal their triumphs and challenges. Get your copy at http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That URL again is http://lnc.tips/creating-series. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on the book. Put that code in the promo code box when you check out.
Well, how much time do you think people should spend on social media? I mean, do you do this 15 minutes a day? Do you do it 3 times a week? Give us a little idea of how your schedule looks for that.
I heard a statistic a couple years ago that said that you'd had to spend about 5 hours a week on social media in order to see some kind of a return. I don't really spend that much time. I usually sit down every couple weeks and lay out the tweets, and every couple of weeks write my blog posts. And then I check in on LinkedIn and Facebook, usually every day. So, you know, I guess it might add up to 5 hours, but it's not concentrated at one time frame. And I do know of people who take virtual assistants and give them the responsibility to maintain their social media presence with somebody who understands your voice, your business, your needs. I think that that can be a very effective way to delegate.
So let me use you as kind of the guinea pig. Have you seen a result from the social media that you're doing? And if so, which has been the best for you?
What works best for us is when I'm promoting a webinar and I write a blog post, and at the bottom of the blog post, I say, for more information, please join, please attend our webinar, give that link. Then I use that blog post and I put it on LinkedIn in the groups that I'm a member of that are applicable to that particular topic. So some of them are good for attorneys, some of them are good for legal nurse consultants, and then by providing some education, the blog post is educational as opposed to a hard sell. But the blog post goes on there. People read the blog post on LinkedIn, see the link to the webinar, and then sign up for the program. So that has worked for me because it's a combination of education, but it's also a purpose. There's a call to action at the end.
Excellent. Well, now, what have you learned that could help business women in their careers? I mean, first you were a nurse, which is a very nurturing profession, and then you went into business, which says, okay, I've got to run this thing, and I've got to satisfy my clients, I've got to satisfy my employees. So what have you learned that could help women?
Well, within the context of social media, I think it's important to realize that we are no longer in isolation, where a flippant comment or a derogatory remark that you might have sent in the past by email to a single person, that same comment posted on a social media site can come back to haunt you. I know in the legal world, attorneys are now being very cautious in explaining to the clients that they represent that there will be an investigation of their social media persona if they get involved in a lawsuit. And negative pictures posted on Facebook, for example, could come back to haunt them. So I think one of the keys is to realize that you shouldn't put anything on social media that you wouldn't want to see on a billboard if you were driving down a highway. And in terms of using social media for business purposes, I just attended a program at the New Jersey National Speakers Association on Saturday, the LinkedIn section, the woman who was presenting said, when she makes connections, she follows up with an attempt to make a real-time telephone call connection with that person. She doesn't just collect friends or connections, but she does it strategically and then offers to have a conversation to see how each can mutually help each other. So there's a great deal of power now. We talked about the negative aspects of putting things on social media, but the positive is that you can narrow down to very specific people on LinkedIn that you want to connect with in a particular industry, a particular geographic area, and that gives you an opportunity to have business opportunities, job employment opportunities, all kinds of joint ventures can develop as a result of making that personal human connection.
Well, that's true. And women are very good at that. Thank heavens. I mean, one of the things that women excel in are relationships. So that's a wonderful thing. But did you ever have a problem in hiring people? I mean, I know you're in a specific industry, and we talk about the fact that many times people should be hired for attitude and you can teach them the skills. And I'm not sure that's true in your business. But what experience have you had in hiring employees? The good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess.
Well, the first person I ever hired was my son's best friend back when I ran the business in my house. And I hired him because my younger son, who was about 4 at the time, asked me something, and I was working on a report. He saw the back of my head, and I brushed him off, and he burst into tears, and he said, I feel like such a pest. I can never ask you a question. And it just tore at my heart, and I realized that I couldn't work at home all day and all night and still be a mother of a young child, and I didn't have any boundaries in my life. You know, I felt fully justified to return to the computer after dinner. So I hired this young boy, and unbeknownst to me, he had a drug problem, and he would just kind of nod off in front of the computer. And after a while, I realized that that wasn't going to work. So I hired another person who was running the PTA from my business, and I had to terminate her. So I began to realize that I had to be very selective and clear on my expectations about what I was looking for. And I also realized that the process of advertising and sorting through resumes and screening people and interviewing people as an entrepreneur running a small business was much more time-consuming than I ever dreamed. Because I work in a business where it's very important for our reports to be proofread and to be accurate, I needed people who had good writing skills. And then I began to realize after going through hiring and watching people flounder that I had to do a better job of screening them before hiring them. So if somebody applies for a job and has a typo, or typos on her resume, then that tells me that this is not a good position for that person. Might be fine in some jobs, but it's not in our job. So I've then went a step further and developed some screening tests, and this would really be a concept that would apply to anyone who's doing hiring, is thinking about the kinds of skills that are necessary in your employment area and what type of a written test, I would say a pen and pencil, pencil and paper test, something that's done on the computer. You know, what is the critical thing that applicant needs to know? What are the attitudes or the skills that have to be displayed? So I began getting better at screening people as a result of hiring some people who clearly were not cut out for the position after they got into the position.
Well, are there warning signs that a person should look at? I mean, you talk about, of course, nowadays they give drug tests and, you know, at the bigger companies and so forth. But if you're a small business, I mean, normally you don't do that. So are there warning signs that you've picked up on now over the last few years?
Yes, I've had an unbelievable cast of characters come through the door of my business. I look at how people respond when I talk to them. Can they maintain eye contact? Are they reasonably comfortable? And I think that people have a tendency to be very nervous when they're being interviewed. But you should, as the interviewer, be able to loosen people up. I would also, before I go on and share a little bit more, also mention that I've used a temporary agency for the last three people that I hired, in part because I needed an employee very quickly with a as a result of an employee who gave me 2 weeks' notice, was in a critical position, resigned without sufficient notice, and I needed to very quickly find somebody for her position. So I went through a temp agency, and I will mention a little bit more about that as we wrap up. I think it's important to pay attention whether you're interviewing somebody that you've advertised for or somebody from a temp agency, is to pay attention to your gut reactions. Do you like this person? Can you see them fitting into your business? I've had a woman who came for an interview who told me that she bought a convertible because her dog liked to have the air flow through his fur when they drove. And she had gotten this pet because she'd had another dog that she was so attached to that she keeps the x-rays of the dog under her mattress so she can be close to the dog when she sleeps. And I thought that was just a little odd. I had another guy we rejected because he gave the other staff the creeps, and I have given my staff in the past opportunities to meet the individual who's being interviewed, get their reaction. What do they see? Do they have a feeling about that person? And this guy was just, there was something unsavory about him. I had a woman who couldn't walk up the steps of our office because she was disabled, and this job requires being able to go up and down the steps in the course of a day. There was a woman who was so depressed that I think I would have had to have been on antidepressants if I'd hired her. And I've also been concerned about people who badmouth prior employers and say such negative things about them, or people who skip from job to job to job to job. Now, the advantage of going through a temp agency is that if it doesn't work out, it's real easy. You call up the temp agency and say, "This person's not working out. I don't want her to come back tomorrow. I'd like to see some resumes of some additional people." So it's a very clean severance process.
Well, I would suggest that as well. I have a temp agency owner in my coaching group that I do. I have a business coaching group, and he is fantastic. I mean, what they go through to place the right person is unbelievable, and their satisfaction rate is so high that I've just never heard of anything like that. So I think using the temporary route is a very, very, very good example. And, Patricia is a very interesting woman. I've had her on before where she explained how you get published. She's got a great deal of knowledge in that area. She is a past president of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. She is a nurse herself. So she's got a lot of, and now she's a very successful businesswoman. So she's got a lot of information on her site. She is a very interesting woman. I suggest if you have any questions, you go to her website, see if you can get them answered. Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with for the last 30 seconds that we have, Patricia?
I think the final point that I'd like to make about hiring is that your employees are your lifeblood of your company, and making good selections and managing them well is really going to be crucial to your business. You don't know how well people are going to truly function in your environment until they arrive, but the expression of slow hire, quick fire certainly holds a lot of merit. They can make or break you with your customers, so choose them well. Be aware of how you come across in social media and reward your customers. Recognize them and reward them in whatever way makes sense within your business.
Well, good advice from Patricia Iyer. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Women in Business, a show dedicated to honoring women who own their own companies or are in senior management positions within their organizations. I'm Gail Carson. You can reach me at gailcarson13@gmail.com or sign up for my newsletter at spunkyoldbroad.com. Thanks, Pat, for being with us today. A lot of great information.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this interview. It is my pleasure to share it with you. Be sure to get a copy of How to Grow Your LNC Business, Secrets of Success. You'll read my practical advice, having been in your seat running a successful legal nurse consulting business. Go to http://lnc.tips/creating-series. And be sure to write a review for us on iTunes, telling the world how you appreciate Legal Nurse Podcast.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.